Now, I'd like you to turn to the last book of the Bible and the book of Revelation and the very right to the very next to the last chapters of it. I want to read to you from the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. 20th chapter. Let's find it. And I'd like you to read along with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I saw a white throne. He sat on it, and his face of the heavens and the earth fled away. And the white throne judgment. Just before that, in verse 6, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was given to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, the angel said, the person that is with John who wrote this book, said to John, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are the true sayings of God. And John, of course, said, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said, don't do that. Get up. I'm a servant as well as you are. Let me read that again. And the voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, is the sound of a mighty thunderings. And the voice and the thunderings were saying, Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent, God almighty, all-powerful reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, which is the righteous acts of the saint. And he said, write this. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the end of the book. Right after this is the white throne judgment, and eternity is ushered in. And this wedding will be, the bride and the groom will be throughout all eternity. It's so powerful. And so important that the book winds up with the wedding. This is the end. Just before the judgment and the end of time, as he says in the last chapters. Just before this, there's going to be this in heaven, this wedding. And this wedding is what it's all about. You're being part of that wedding. And it says that Jesus Christ We'll have a wedding ceremony, and the Church of Jesus Christ will be the bride. And we're going to be his wife that has made herself ready. This is the way the book ends up. Now, it's so interesting and so important to get this straight in your thinking that the book starts with a wedding. That's how the book begins. Genesis begins with God creating everything in the world, creating the heavens and the earth and everything in this earth. And then he creates man and says, everything is for you. And then he creates Eve, and Eve is given to Adam, and the wedding. God himself performs that wedding. That's how the book begins. The whole book is about a wedding. It's all about that. That's what it's all about. It's all about this wedding. Do you realize that Jesus Christ began his ministry at a wedding? It was the wedding at Cana of Galilee when he started his ministry. That's how he began it. He began by performing a miracle. They were running out of wine. The happiness was gone. And Jesus Christ brought the happiness to the wedding. And it was a wedding where he started his ministry. He told these great parables about it. And it winds up. What it's all about is the bride of Christ being ready for this great event. This is the climax. The wedding of Jesus Christ to his church. And what the marriage supper of the Lamb is the wedding feast. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Folks, what an incredible thing that God calls you to be the bride of Jesus Christ and to be part of his church, which will be his wife. And we are called from all over the world, from every nationality, every rank and every, and called and made ready, washed and cleansed from our sins. And we put on the wedding garment, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, clothed with his righteousness. And we are waiting for that event. And God is working with his bride, getting you ready for this climax of the ages, which is going to be the great trumpet will sound. Jesus Christ will come and catch his church, his bride away. The graves will be opened, and we're going to be ushered in to heaven, and we're going to be prepared. And this is where we're going to be. We will be part of this great event, this wedding. Hallelujah. Now, people, let me tell you, for Jesus to call you and to cleanse you and to invite you to be part of this bride, that we sang about it today, sang so wonderfully about Jesus and about how he paid the price and suffered on the cross, unbelievable suffering, that he could purchase you and that he could redeem you and bring you to himself and have you as his bride in a relationship that is illustrated with every marriage, that proper marriage that takes place on this earth is a picture of this great event. All of life is about this. It's what it's about, the great wedding. Your important part of your life, the great event of your life should be when you get married. And it's so important, and he places such importance on the human wedding because, and the human marriage relationship, because it's a picture. He's given you that picture in all of life, a picture of the real wedding. This life and wedding ends at death, should end at death, shouldn't end any other way, should end when one of the partners is taken. That separates it. But this wedding that's going to be forever is never going to end. We are going to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ that is going to last for eternity. And there's no one knows all that there is. But we know this is incredible. He said it was so tremendous. The thundering, the sounds, the noise, the trumpet, the angels singing. And we march in and sit down at this incredible event, and we are going to be so close to Jesus. That's why you got to get close to him now. You got to fall in love with Jesus now. It's not just a matter of getting saved to escape hellfire and to get out of danger, which that is true that you will. But that's not what it's about. It's about a love relationship, getting in love with Jesus, like we sang and some folks dancing, which was wonderful, praising him because he called us. He's called us out of this world, chosen us from the foundation of the world, and has chosen you to be that close with him, closer than any human relationship. All of our relationships are marred, but this one is going to be perfect. Hallelujah. We're going to be with him. We're going to serve him. And whatever it takes in getting ready, whatever you go through in this life, in getting ready, and God is what he's doing on everybody, getting you ready. If he's called you, what he's doing is getting you ready. And giving you all kinds of experiences and getting you ready for that great event that's going to come, that this whole book is about. And it's about Jesus Christ coming into this world and purchasing our redemption and taking us out of the family of Satan, but not just bringing us into the family of God, but bringing us into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is same as marriage. We're going to be married to him. Now you're married, you're engaged to him, you are committed to him, and he is working in your life, preparing you, getting you ready, and getting me ready for that tremendous event that is the event of the ages. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. He's called you, he's getting you ready. Praise God. Now, to give you an idea of how important this is and how marriage is a picture of this, let's turn over to the book of Ephesians, and let's see if we can find that in the book of Ephesians here. Praise God. And it talks to us about that in the 5th chapter of Ephesians. Praise God. Wives, submit yourself to your husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. This is the 27th verse. That he might present it, the bride, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That he is going to present this church to himself. And we are going to be without spot or wrinkle. Praise God. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own body, as he loved his wife, as he who loves his wife loves himself. And he goes on to say, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Jesus Christ says that all marriages are a picture of the big wedding. Every marriage is a picture of the big wedding. This is what it's all about. Now, Jesus Christ gave us these pictures, gave us some wonderful pictures. Speaking of weddings and speaking of that, he gave us a great picture in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. He tells about the king having a wedding. And that's a wonderful story. And maybe the best way to do that is just if I read it to you. Take a little time, but this is an important lesson here in Matthew's gospel. The 22nd chapter of Matthew's gospel, starting at the first verse. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. The son is Jesus. We're going to be the bride in this wedding. The son is Jesus. And sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who were invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, everything is ready, come to the wedding. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized the servants, treated them spitefully, killed them. Now Jesus sent out the prophets to Israel first of all to invite them, and they rejected it. But when the king heard about it, he was furious and sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. In 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed. They had rejected the invitation. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready. Those who were invited were not worthy. They rejected it. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. God said, when the Jewish nation rejected, he said, "Go to all the world and bring everybody, whoever will come, invite them. Invite them to the wedding." And it was God's great plan. And that's how we got invited. God invited us. Praise God. And he says, go to the highways and the byways and just get everybody. Go to the humble. Go to the poor. Go get everybody. Get good people. Get bad people. Isn't that something? He got bad people. He says, bring them and I'll take care of them and clean them up. Praise God. And he got bad people. And he got poor people. And you know, that is a tremendous thing. Back to the thing that at the great wedding, what's going to shock you and shock so many of us is the people that are going to be honored. There's people like the widow that gave her two mites that no one took any notice of us. People were putting in big donations. She gave all she had. She will get a tremendous reward. There's little humble people from parts of this world. And I think of folks that I preached with in the continent of Africa that had so little, were given, that were so sold out to God, such servants of God, how they're going to be so honored. And people down here that you never thought anything about, that were faithful, that gave themselves, that served God with what they had, and you're going to get shocked at what is going to be honored in heaven. It's going to be totally different than you've ever thought of. He says you're going to get surprised because it's going to be accurate. God sees everything you do. He sees every prayer you pray and every sacrifice. And there have been folks that have been so faithful and sacrificed and prayed and given and supported missions and served God faithfully that never got any great honor down here. But I want you to know you're going to be honored in heaven. Hallelujah. You're going to be somebody up there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks, this is what it's all about. This is going to happen. And that trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ that served him are going to be raised up, and we're going to be caught up together, and we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we had great music here today. But I want you to know when those angels start playing the trumpets and the music in heaven is sounding and we're going to march in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With wedding garments, we're going to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he stripped us of our own selves and of our own righteousness. And he wants you to be clothed with his robe. He's got a robe for you. He's got a place for you. Now, there's something wonderful about this wedding, because every single person is important that's there. And he's got a name for you. And it says it in Revelation. And you're special. And God has called you. Don't let the devil tell you you're a nothing. Maybe you're not heralded here as, or seen as anything. That's not what's important. Everything here is temporal. This is just getting us ready. That is permanent. That is permanent. Let's get the vision. Let's get it straight. Hallelujah. Whatever you have to do, whatever you have to do to be part of that wedding, stay with it. Let the angel, let God work on you and prepare you and take the lessons and take the teaching and take the training and let him prepare you for the place he has for you eternally. This life is brief. And it's only passing and temporal. Every day is different. Nothing stays the same. That is permanent. And that is forever. And that's the wedding that counts. if you're married here, stay with your wife, stay with your husband, because that's why he wants you to be an example. You don't leave for anything, he said, other than immorality. You stay with him because you're a picture. God doesn't put you down if you make a mistake, if you say something wrong. So you stay with your wife, you stay with your husband, because you're a picture of the great wedding that's coming. Hallelujah. 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 And you know, he's training you. He's getting you ready. Oh, I'm going through a lot. Yes, we all go through a lot. God has training every person. Now, we're thinking of hard times coming, and they are coming. And we're going to see hard times, but I don't want you to ever be afraid of hard times. God doesn't want you to be afraid of hard times. Brother Dave wrote in his book on the vision of hard times that's coming, and of the earthquake that's coming to America, and it'll be true. If you ever doubted his vision, he said in his book, he says that probably Japan will have an earthquake before us, and they sure did, didn't they? And it's true. It's a confirmation of the vision that God gave the founding pastor of this place, Dave. It's going to happen, folks. What he said in that book will happen. If you had any doubt about it after the earthquake in Japan a week ago last Friday, you don't have any doubt about it anymore. He said it possibly, or probably, will happen to Japan first. And I'm saying that all to say something very important. Very important. All of a sudden, this happens. Hard times come. Desperate times. But you don't need to worry about that. If you have answered the call of God and his hand is in, you're walking with God, you don't have to worry about a thing. He wants to take care of you. Yes, we'll have hard times, but you don't need to be afraid of them. Take a look at me. I'm an example of coming through hard times. I came through hard times. I came through poverty. There probably isn't a person in this building as poverty-stricken as we were. Poverty-stricken. No father, no state aid. Six of us children. Blind aunt took care of me because my mother was out praying with dying people and ministering all the time, a big part of the time. So I saw desperate times. But when Aunt Florence, who raised me, was dying, I loved her just like my own mother because she was just like my mother. So she was dying, and I was pastoring in Brooklyn. I drove all night, got to she was dying in a hospital in North Carolina. I got there like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I walked down the hall, and she had a terrific mind. She heard me walking, and she said, "Is that you, Ben? Is that you, Benjamin?" I said, "Yes, that's me." And I walked in, and she said, "Son, I'm so glad to talk to you." Afraid she wouldn't live till another day or two, so she said, "I want to talk to you now." 3 o'clock in the morning. She says, "Son, I want to tell you, never worry about hard times." She said, "And don't you ever feel bad about the terrible times that we went through when you were a child. Don't ever let that worry you. You mustn't feel badly about it." She says, "Because it made us closer to God. It made us pray more. Your mother and I prayed a lot more. The situations drove us to our knees, and we sought God, and we got close to God, and we saw the hand of God and saw the miracles, and we saw it." So she said, "You must never worry about hard times," because she said, "or ever feel badly about how hard it was when you were raised," because she said, "It made us better Christians. We came closer to God. We saw him daily. We saw him take care of us." Hallelujah. Just to give you an idea, I had a cousin who was an agnostic, but he felt sorry for us. So he'd bring it once in a while. He'd bring us some clothes at Christmas time and bring us something to see if you could wear this and see if you could wear that. He picked up some clothes for us. And we worked. I remember at 10 years old, I was working like a man in the summer to picking cotton and saving every dollar to buy clothes to go to school in the fall at 10 years old, working 12 hours a day, just saving every penny to get a few clothes because there wasn't anything. There was nothing. I remember going to church and putting my feet under the pew so nobody would see. In the fall, I had no shoes on. And it was late. Everybody has now. In the summertime, we were in the South, in the poverty-stricken areas, we didn't have them. But in the fall, everybody had shoes. I didn't have any shoes. No shoes. And it was such a thing that we had so little. And sometimes very little to eat, but we always had something. But you know, I want to tell you something. I heard prayer, and I got a hold of God, and I saw my mother seeking God, and I remembered Aunt Florence told me, don't ever let hard times worry you. Now, folks, let me tell you, this going to happen. You mustn't worry. You must get a hold of God and realize we are prepared for heaven. I am part of the bride of Jesus Christ. I am getting ready. He's getting you ready from all over this world right now, all over the world. He's preparing a people because the trumpet is going to sound soon. There will be troubles, tremendous troubles, but it will never rock you if you're into God. It'll only bring you closer to Him. It'll purify the church. Now, we saw revival in the Depression. After the Great Depression in the 30s, we saw great revival because folks got a hold of God. They saw they needed God, and the church were full and people were seeking God. And let me tell you, it's going to happen. Don't let that bother you. You get ready. You get in fire and get a vision of the fact of where we're going. Get the vision of what it's all about. He has called me. He has put His hand upon me. He has predestined me for heaven. He is working in my life, and He wants me to be a worker for Him and to listen to Him and to be filled with the Spirit. Get a hold of the Spirit, that the Spirit can talk to you and lead you and guide you and speak to you, and that you're walking with God every day of your life, that you're in Him in the mornings and in the evenings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you're close to Him and it will not hurt you. It will not hurt you. What is coming will not hurt you. He will watch over you and take care of you. Yes, we will have deprivation and other things will happen, but that won't hurt you. It'll only help you because you'll see the hand of God and you'll see His protection and you'll see His love. He wants you to get in love with Him, to not get in love with cars or houses or retirement or pensions or all these things that mean nothing. Don't get in love with this world. Get in love with Jesus. Get in love with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He will be with you. He'll be close to you. So close to you. He wants to be close to you. He feels bad when other things are close to you. And you let other things get next to you and you push Him aside. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you enough to go to the cross for you. He purchased your redemption. He paid an awesome price for you. And He wants you next to Him. And if He has to sweep something away from you to get next to you, so be it. He wants to be the best thing in your life, the dearest thing, the closest thing. And if He has to strip a few things off from us, so thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's thank Him this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother, someday it could be right now where that trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise out of that grave, and I'm leaving here and I want you to leave here. Hallelujah. I'm leaving. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He wants you ready. He wants you ready. Don't let anything get in the place of God in your life. Let Jesus be the closest thing to you. Hallelujah. 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 Let Him be the closest thing to you in the world is Jesus. Now, the rest of that story that I was going to read to you in Matthew's gospel, Jesus the King got to the wedding, and He said He saw there a man without a wedding garment. He said, what are you, friend, quoting it, what are you doing here with no wedding garment? This is the wedding, the king's wedding. And you're here, and you've come here with no wedding garment. And he says, he had no answer. And he said, cast him with the outside, with the unbelievers. Put him out. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth is the words of Jesus. What crying when folks realize they missed it. Now, how did that man get there? He got there by thinking he was ready, and he wasn't. He thought he was ready. He thought that I'm all right. He was deceived. He was deceived. And there's millions of people in churches across the world, and especially I'm more familiar with here in this country, that think they're all right, that aren't ready. They think that I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm good enough. I'm ready, but they aren't ready. The only way in the world you get ready is to be born again. Jesus said it to Nicodemus, who thought Judaism would help him. He said, Nicodemus, the only way in the world, you must be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. And how do you get the new birth? You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You accept Him as the forgiver of your sins, and you leave and repent of your sins, and you take His righteousness, and you're clothed with His righteousness, the robe of His righteousness. That's the wedding garment you have to have. You have to be born again. You must lay aside your goodness, your righteousness, and all of the things that you think will make you ready. That isn't it. It's Jesus Christ coming into your heart and life, accepting Him as your Savior, and then you're ready. Don't think you're ready without being born again. And you can't live a willful life of sin and say this is acceptable. No. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, your right arm, cut it off. Cut it off. Because He said it's better to go into life, to the wedding, with one hand and one eye than it is to be cast out. Now, if you're not ready, get ready today. Get ready. God loves you. He brought you here. We thank You that you're here, that you're listening. That's grateful. We're grateful that you're here. I beg you this morning, don't depend on yourself, and don't depend on a church, and don't depend on somebody else, and don't depend on anything but having Jesus Christ in your heart and life. Come to know Him. And give yourself to Him and receive Him. Accept Christ as your Savior and repent of your sins. Lay them aside. Well, I don't have the power. You don't need the power. He paid the price on the cross. All you have to have is the willingness. If you're willing for Him to take your hand off, He'll do it and save you and give you the strength. He wants you. He wants to come into your heart and life. He wants to save you. He loves you, but you must not try to do it your way. Do not be deceived. Let Christ come into your heart and life today and know that you're ready and have a shout of victory, that if you knew He was coming today, there'd be nothing but a shout in your soul. Hallelujah. I'm ready to meet Him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's one other category before I leave, and that's another story that Jesus told. He told of the rich man over in Luke's gospel, he tells this story, and he says there was a man that had well off, a rich man, and he said, "I'll tear down my barns because there's not room enough, and build greater barns, and I'll say to myself, soul, take it easy. You're going to live a long time, and just take it easy and retire and enjoy life because," and he says, "You fool, you fool, you fool, the rich fool that we're called." He said, "Tonight your soul will be required of you." Those that put it off, procrastination is the last category that I want to speak to, the third group. The category of those that know they're not ready, not deceived, they know they're not ready, but they are just going to put it off until tomorrow is a better time. I don't need to get right now. I'm enjoying the lifestyle. I'm going to enjoy the sin, and I'm going to put it off till tomorrow. Jesus said, "You're a fool. Eternity is forever. You have no knowledge of another day. You don't know that you'll be here tomorrow. You don't have that promise." Can you imagine that? You know, when I first really came to understand eternity and the how permanent death is, was when I was 13 and my brother was killed. Working on a highway in Texas in the road. Biggest, strongest one of us, 18 years old, and we had nothing. He'd gone there, and he was traveling and was working in the state at that time. And he was on the outside, on the side of this road, and there was a group working down in the pit, shoveling sand on his truck, and he saw this boulder slipping toward them, and he jumped in. There were two men there, and threw one of them out and knocked the other one out of the way and jumped. And just as he jumped, the boulder struck my brother. He was 18 and crushed him. He lived a few hours and died that afternoon. 18. I can never forget waiting for the funeral. I'll never see him again. My brother. So close. The strongest one of us. Most robust and powerful, powerful young man. Gone. 18. That morning he was great. At night he's dead. Forever. Forever. And it just came to me. Life so brief. And eternity is so long. It's so permanent. And it's so permanent, people. And there's no coming back. And there's no changing your mind. And there's no second opportunity. You have the opportunity now. You don't know what tomorrow is. I think of those Japanese at 2:46 in the afternoon on Friday a week ago, this past Friday. All of a sudden, the earth shakes for about 8 minutes. The most powerful earthquake they've ever had. And it goes much longer than most earthquakes. And it was 7 or 8 minutes long. And suddenly, at 2:46 in the middle of the afternoon, it's all over for hundreds of thousands of people. The life, everything is done. In 1 hour, the tsunami came, a wave 30 feet high, traveling at several hundred miles an hour, just swept everything away. Gone. 700,000, almost as much as a small state in our country, homeless, gone. All of a sudden, it's over, folks. This is a temporary place. It's not permanent. Nothing is permanent. It's changing all the time. And you're not permanent. You're just here passing through. And please, get ready. Get ready. Don't be a fool. And gamble with your soul. Don't do that. Because let me tell you something. This is the best opportunity you'll ever have. Every time you put it off, it's easier. And the spirit is less powerful. And the invitation is less. Till finally, you don't even feel it. Please, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't put it off. Take this opportunity and give your life to God. And while you've got time, and while you've got an opportunity, let Jesus Christ come in. He loves you. He paid the price for you. The Spirit is calling you. Now listen to Him. and come this morning and let Jesus Christ come into your heart and life and you change and join us and join the happy crowd and be ready that you can shout when you hear he's coming. And if death takes to you, you're not going to worry 1 minute. It's an advantage. Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. For everybody in this building that knows Jesus, to die is gain. It's not loss. It's not down. It's up, and it's great, and it's victory. Hallelujah. I think of my sister died about 93 years old, and she thought she was going to die, and she was so happy. She was so happy. She said, I'm going to be with Jesus. I can't wait. And she lived a few days longer, not long, and she was disappointed. She said, I want to go. I've been here long enough. She said, I want to meet Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm ready. I want to get rid of this body. It's worn out. It's gone. I'm getting rid of it. Hallelujah. I'm going to be with him. Hallelujah. And I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. Nobody knows. You have no guarantees. Folks, don't be a fool. Please don't. Don't gamble. It's gambling with money is one thing. That's foolishness, but it's really a fool to gamble with your soul. Give your life to Christ. Embrace him this morning. He brought you here. And let's join those that are ready. And let's give God a shout when that trumpet sounds. We're going to go and be with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, you come and give the invitation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Folks, you're beginning to sense, I think, as many of us are, the nearness of the hour that we're living in now. With the turmoil in this world increasing almost daily now, and distress and perplexity among nations, and it all is pointing to the coming of Christ very, very soon. And what you're hearing today, and I believe what you're hearing from the Holy Spirit, is that last call. There's a time, there's a season, there's a generation when there's a last call of Christ to step out of sin and to come into the forgiveness that God freely offers through his Son, to step away from compromise and to make a commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ in the earth, to begin to live for God and to let that garment of righteousness, that power of God within your life, make you into the person that God has always desired that you should be. You and I, the choice that we have is to choose to walk with him. And the moment he begins to walk with us, the power of his life is unleashed within ours. And we become, as the Bible says, a new creation in Christ Jesus. New old things pass away, and behold, all things are made new. We have a new mind. We have a new heart. We have a new value system. We have a new way of thinking and seeing life. Everything comes into focus, and it comes into its right perspective. I want to challenge you today, those that are hearing this, that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity to step out of your seat this morning here and in the Education Annex and make your way to the front of this auditorium where Pastor Crandall is going to come back and pray with you. And if you make this prayer that he'll lead you in your own, then you will know that Jesus Christ has received you and that when you walk out of this church today, no matter what happens to you, that heaven has become your destiny. And for those who need to turn away from sin, from lifestyles, from practices, and things that you know are not right, this is a wonderful time to be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to trust God for the power to live that life that he's promised you. Challenge you today with everything in my heart to leave behind what needs to be left behind. It's time to stop dragging death behind you and let it go and embrace life in Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the simplicity yet the power of this word today. God, give us the grace to be able to hear. This man has come today as a herald of a message, Lord, that's been preached for over 2,000 years. And yet now we sense it drawing very quickly to a close. God Almighty, help us, Lord, to hear this. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Now we're going to stand in a moment. We're going to worship for about 5 minutes or so. And as we do, if the Holy Spirit is drawing you, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you need to put behind you some practices that you know are not right according to the Word of God. This is the time to do it. This is the time to get right with God. Let's stand, please. You can slip out of your seat in the balcony, go to either exit in the main sanctuary, just slip out wherever you are and make your way to this altar, please. And Pastor Crandall will be returning shortly to pray with you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that there's rejoicing in heaven when one sinner comes back. Let's put our hands up and rejoice for anyone that's here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For those that have come right now, just put your hands up right now. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants you to overcome whatever your need is. He is here. He loves you with an everlasting love. And pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that are standing here. We thank you for everyone that you've spoken to today. Now, Jesus, we pray for those that are here. May they accept you, never trust themselves, but put their confidence in you and call upon you, Jesus, to come into their heart and life today and to save them. Give them that assurance. And God, wash their sins away with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's as powerful a day as the day it was shed. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you're looking down right now. And we ask you to have mercy and write these names in the book of life from those standing here today, and we'll give you the praise. Now bless him. Now thank him for saving you. Take him as your Savior. Ask him to forgive you. Receive him. He said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Embrace him this day today and thank him for coming into your heart and life and saying you're going to serve him. Give your life to him. Ask him now. Go downstairs and go with the counselors. Get involved. Get into the Word. Get close to God and into these people, and God's going to take you through. Hallelujah. You've made the right start. God bless you. You've done the right thing. Thank you for it. God loves you. God loves you. He cares about you. He's glad you're here. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.